You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It is a greeting that is being shared around the world as followers of Jesus gather to celebrate the unexpected outcome of the story of the ages. It is a glorious day, and it is so exciting that we have chosen to be here when there are so many other things people can choose to do. But it would not feel right to not be here, because we celebrate the day when history changed, when God's love was made manifest in a way that still causes each of us to ponder. We are here because we want to hear this story once again, the story that continues to impact our lives, the story of that fateful day when it seemed that all hope was lost. Why do you look for the living among the dead? That was the question the two mysterious men in dazzling clothes asked the women. It was early in the morning, dawn. You know that time when the stars fade as the rays of the suns begin to appear, when darkness and light meld into each other, creating the new day. That's the time when Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women went to the place where Jesus had been buried. I wonder what they were feeling as that day emerged. What do you think? Had they had yet another sleepless night following the darkness of Good Friday? Were they hoping that this was simply a collective bad dream and that this didn't really happen? What do you think? Luke, the gospel writer, tells us that they brought spices with them, ostensibly to do further anointing of the body. But there are others who wonder if that really was not the case, but instead that they just felt compelled to go to the place where Jesus, the man who had offered them such hope and acceptance, was now laid to rest. Well, whatever their motivation, it doesn't matter. What Luke made clear is that the women went to the grave. The women went to the grave. And in the ancient mindset, it really was not a surprise, because it was understood that women had a much closer and better understanding of both birth and death than men. And maybe that's why they were first on the scene. It made sense for them to be there. At least it made sense until they had arrived and they realized that the tomb had been opened, and because of that, there they were looking at this empty tomb, and it was perplexing. Why do you look for the living among the dead? That question elicited terror on the part of the women. Something was terribly wrong. The body of Jesus was no longer there. Had the grave been ransacked, robbed? What was going on? And if it wasn't enough of an indignity that Jesus had been crucified, now the body was gone. It was all too horrible for them to imagine. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The reality was not setting in among Mary and the others. But something switched. They started to understand the words that these strange men were telling them. They were reminded that Jesus had said he would rise again. He would rise again. And it apparently dawned on them that they were now part of strange happenings. They were witnesses to a miracle. They began to realize that maybe they were now looking for Jesus in the wrong place. They were growing in their awareness that they were now part of something bigger than they could imagine. So they went searching for the disciples to tell them what had happened in the graveyard. Well, the story tells us that Peter and the other men did not believe them. And that was pretty typical for Peter and the disciples. They rarely understood what Jesus was trying to teach them. So why should they understand this world-shattering news that was now being brought to them? Well, it probably caused some consternation, to say the least. So Peter decided that he was going to run off to the tomb to figure this all out. And I bet he ran to that tomb thinking that what the women had told him was not true. Well, he got to the tomb and he was amazed. He was amazed because guess what? What the women had told him was true, that Jesus was not among the dead. It was the wrong place to be looking for Jesus. Let's be honest, friends. It's a perplexing, confounding, hard to accept, makes no sense kind of story. But this story, which happened almost 2,000 years ago, is so profound, so startling, so turn everything upside down that we are here today. We are here basking in the beauty of this space, responding to the trumpet fanfares, the rumbling of the timpani, the mighty sounds of the organ. Our voices are joined in chorus because of that perplexing, confounding, and completely amazing story. That story has so captivated our human imagination that we cannot let it go. We can't because it's too big. It is too audacious to let go. That striking message, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" has changed our world and it has changed us. Because of that empty tomb, because of the witness of the women and eventually the disciples, we choose now to focus not on death but life, not on defeat but hope. We gather today in our houses of worship around the world proclaiming He is risen. He is risen indeed. We gather even when we cannot make complete sense of or understand what it was the women saw. We gather because we have experienced in our lives that Christ is alive, that God is with us, that the Holy Spirit is at work in our world. We see this when and wherever we live out Jesus' teaching or we see other people living out Jesus' teaching to love God and to love neighbor as self. The miracle of Easter is that we do not have to be stuck in a perpetual Good Friday, that place of hopelessness. And let's face it, friends, we live in times when for many it seems like it is always Good Friday. When we look around our world, it is a challenging picture. Political machinations, warfare, injustice, and oppression are everywhere, even in our land. We see and hear of gun violence. We hear of bombs being dropped every day, yields more lives which are lost because of brutality and the worst parts of our human nature. But friends, it is not unique just to our place in time. It is an unfortunate part of our human condition and a story that Jesus and His first followers completely understood. Yes, it can be enough to make us just want to give up. And I bet it was the same for those who lived in the first century. Yet even with all these challenges, Jesus' message to His followers and Jesus' message to us today is not about giving up. It is instead a message, a profound hope. His message was about how things would be if we worked toward bringing God's realm about in this world, making God's love a reality. When death seemed to bring an end to this possibility, God broke in with a different plan. Because the tomb was empty, we have Easter hope, and we have the promise that death is not the final story. As the Apostle Paul proclaimed to the ancient church in Corinth, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where is your sting?" Because of the empty tomb, hope is victorious. And we know that hope is the most powerful force in the world. It is more powerful than governments. It is more powerful than bombs. Hope is the most powerful force in the world. We are resilient, friends. We are resilient because we are Easter people, and Easter people never, never give up on hope. Friends, Christ is not among the dead. Christ is alive in us, in our world, and all we need do is open our eyes to see the power of resurrection in the most unexpected places. God's power and God's love cannot ever be confined. A preacher and a poet from another time, Phillips Brooks, said it this way: "Tomb, thou shalt not hold him longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ will rise on Easter Day." Friends, the good news of God's love is indeed triumphant. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.
Christ is truly risen. And so, with our hearts warmed by the hope of this Easter morning,
as the Sabbath was beginning, they all rested according to their custom. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Friends, it's so good to see you on this glorious morning today, and I especially thank you to the church staff, to the volunteers, to our guest musicians who have all been working so hard to make this lovely service come together today. As you can imagine, it's been a full week, and things got started at 6:30 this morning, so we have a lot to be grateful for in the wonderful staff that we have here at the church, and I just want to lift that up today. Will you pause me with me now for a moment of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our strength, our hope, and our redemption. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It is a greeting that is being shared around the world as followers of Jesus gather to celebrate the unexpected outcome of the story of the ages. It is a glorious day. And it is so exciting that we have chosen to be here, especially when there are so many other things we could choose to do. But it would not feel right to not be here, because we celebrate the day when history changed, when God's love was made manifest in a way that still causes us to ponder. We are here because we want to hear that story once again, the story that continues to impact our lives, the story of that fateful day when it seemed that all hope was lost. Why do you look for the living among the dead? That was the question the two mysterious men in dazzling clothing asked the women. It was early in the morning, dawn, that time when the stars fade as the rays of the sun appear, when darkness and light seem to meld into each other, creating the new day. That is when Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women went to the place where Jesus was buried. I wonder what they were feeling as the day emerged. Was it another one of those sleepless nights following the darkness of Good Friday? Were they hoping that this was just some collective bad dream, that this really didn't happen? What do you think? Luke, the gospel writer, tells us that they brought spices with them, ostensibly to do further anointing of Jesus' body. But there are others who wonder if that really was not the case, but instead it was because they felt compelled to go to the place where Jesus, the man who had offered them such hope and acceptance, was laid to rest. Whatever the motivation, it really does not matter. What Luke made clear is that it was the women who went to the grave. And in the ancient mindset, this really was not a great surprise, because it was understood that women had a much closer and better understanding of birth and death than men. And maybe that's why they were on the scene. It made sense for them to be there. At least it made sense until they arrived and they realized that the tomb had been opened. And because of that, they were the first ones who were feeling perplexed at what was going on. Why do you look for the living among the dead? That question elicited a sense of terror from the women. Something was terribly wrong. The body of Jesus was no longer there. Had the grave been ransacked or robbed? What was going on? If it was not enough of an indignity that Jesus had been crucified, now his body was gone. It was all too horrible to imagine. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The reality at first was not setting in among Mary and the others, but something switched. They were beginning to understand what these strange men in the tomb were talking about. They were reminded that Jesus had said he would rise again. He would rise again. And it apparently dawned upon them that they were now part of strange happenings. They were witnesses to a miracle. And they began to realize that maybe they were now looking for Jesus in the wrong place. They were growing in their awareness that they were now part of something bigger than they could imagine. So they decided they needed to go tell the other disciples what they had seen, what had happened to them. Well, Peter and the other men did not believe them. And that was typical for Peter and the disciples. They rarely understood what Jesus was trying to teach them. So why should they understand the world-shattering news that was being brought to them now? Well, it probably caused some consternation among them, to say the least. So Peter decided it was time to figure this all out, and he was going to the tomb to see if what he had been told really was true. And so he ran to get there. And he stopped in his tracks, and he was amazed. He was amazed because guess what? What the women had told him was true. Jesus was not among the dead. It was the wrong place to be looking for him. Let's be honest, friends. It's a perplexing, confounding, hard to make sense of, hard to accept kind of story. But this story which happened almost 2,000 years ago, is so profound, so startling, so turned everything upside down that we are here. We are here today because of that story. We are here basking in the beauty of this space. We're resounding to the trumpet fanfares, the rumbling of the timpani. We're responding to the mighty sounds of the organ, and we're lifting our voices in joined chorus because of the perplexing, confounding, and completely amazing story to which those women were witness. The story has so captivated our human imagination that we cannot let it go. It is too big. It is too audacious to let it go. That striking message, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" has changed our world, and it has changed us. Because of that empty tomb, because of the witness of the women and eventually the disciples, we choose to focus not on death but on life, not on defeat but on hope. We choose to come together in our houses of worship around the world proclaiming he is risen indeed. We gather even when we cannot make complete sense of or understand what it was the women saw. We gather because we have experienced in our lives the fact that Christ is indeed alive, that God is with us, that the Holy Spirit is at work in our world. We see this when and wherever we live out Jesus' teaching to love God and to love neighbor as self. We see that wherever others choose to live out that message of hope and life. The miracle of Easter, friends, is that we do not have to be stuck in a perpetual Good Friday, the place of hopelessness. And let's face it, friends, we live in times when for many, it seems like it is always Good Friday. When we look around at our world, it's a challenging picture. Political machinations seem to be everywhere. Warfare, gun violence, injustice, and oppression are everywhere, even in our own land. We hear of bombs being dropped. Every day we hear of more innocent lives being lost because of brutality and all the things that are the worst part of our human nature. But friends, it is not unique to our place and time. It's an unfortunate part of our human condition and a story that we can be assured that Jesus and his first followers understood deeply. All of this can be enough to make us just want to give up in our place and in our time. And friends, it was probably the same in the first century. Yet, even with all of the challenges, even with all of what seemed to be bad news, Jesus' message was never about and never will be about giving up. It instead is a message of hope. His message was how about things could be when we work to bring God's realm into this world, when we work to make God's peace and God's love a reality. When death seemed to bring an end to this possibility, God broke in. God broke in with a different plan. And because the tomb was empty, we have Easter hope. And we have the promise that death is not and never will be the final story. As the Apostle Paul proclaimed to the ancient church in Corinth, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where is your sting?" Because of the empty tomb, hope is victorious. And we know, friends, that hope is the most powerful force in the world. We are resilient because we have hope and we have Easter. And Easter people never, never give up on hope. Friends, Christ is not among the dead. Christ is alive in us. Christ is alive in our world. And all we need do is open our eyes to see the power of resurrection at work in the most unlikely places. Because, friends, God's power and God's love can never, never be confined. A preacher and a poet from another time, Phillips Brooks, said it this way: "Tomb, thou shalt not hold him longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say that Christ will rise on Easter Day." Friends, the good news of God's love is indeed triumphant. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.